You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today, in the next show, in a series of shows on different psychological disorders, we're going to be talking about the sociopath. Last week, we talked about the psychopath. The week before, we talked about the narcissist. A couple of interesting things is that even though there are very similar traits and overlap in some of the areas, there are different causations for all these, and we'll talk about what that is in a moment. I've always heard people toss around the terms narcissist. They're a narcissist. They're a psychopath, or they're a sociopath.
Yeah. Like,
what does that mean? How are they different?
Yes, it's important to recognize one different than the other. Maybe lapid,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of overlap, and some sociopaths are also psychopaths. Some are pure sociopaths, but there's an overlap, and we'll talk about why. What's the difference? What is born versus what is learned? What is taught? What's trauma-based? We're going to look at that because this way it helps us understand the differences and understand people. Yes.
And also ourselves.
May help Maybe. Us understand ourselves better as we look in the mirror.
Yeah.
There is in the DSM-5, the psychology handbook for diagnosing psychosis and different mental illnesses and different problems within psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not psychologists, although we've studied it.
Yeah. We are engineers.
Engineers first. We try to understand what others are
doing.
Right? And what?
Engine-sology.
Engine-sology. So we're engine-sologists. It's a new thing. So the antisocial personality disorder, ASPD, is in the DSM. DSM-5, the latest book. It is a persuasive disregard for others' rights and feelings. It begins typically in adolescence. It persists into adulthood with behavioral issues. It's diagnosed using DSM-5 criteria for personality disorders. So it's a personality disorder. But why we're bringing up antisocial personality disorder is that both sociopathy and psychopathy fall within antisocial personality disorder. So within that, they are different cases of that, or different types of antisocial personality disorder. So they're and a lot of times when they're being diagnosed, there's what we're going to get into, what's the difference between that.
Okay.
But what I want to bring up is there's a lot of similarities in behavior between a narcissist and these two other characters. However, narcissism is not in antisocial personality disorder spectrum.
Yeah, because everybody have a little bit of this.
Everyone has a little bit of this, sure. Sure, but it's also in a narcissism personality disorder. You know, NPD, not ASPD. Let's get into a little bit more on it. So let's look for the diagnoses for ASPD. When you have repeated violation of social norms and laws, deceitfulness, impulsivity, and frequent aggression, lack of remorse for causing harm. So like last week when we spoke about psychopathy, which is one of the ways I've heard it pronounced, psychopathy, or psychopathic behavior,
okay.
Right? When we have this lack of remorse, the no empathy, so you have a lack of feeling sad or feeling sorry, and that was really the more in lines with psychopathic, and a little bit less in social sociopathic behavior. So we're going to actually go into that. So let's get into this right now. For narcissists, I want to get back to that where we were a couple of weeks ago, when it's all based upon love of self. Remember the person, Narcissus?
Yeah.
I think that's his name. He was the young boy who stared at the pond at his own reflection because he was in love with himself, ignored others, admired himself so much. The self-love, you need constant admiration from mirrors and from other people. Manipulates others for validation. Tell me how good I am. Lacks empathy and caring for feelings when in regards to others. So an example is when your partner or a partner manipulates for their own personal praise and gain. They manipulate their partner. So one partner manipulates the other in order to get praise. And we'll have examples of that in a minute. So here's some of the narcissistic behavioral traits. Again, exploits others to achieve personal goals and success. Very sensitive to criticism. Doesn't want to hear negative things. Doesn't want to have thumbs down on their Facebook posts, which you can't get anymore. Often reacts defensively or angrily. So defense and angrily. A lot, you're not seeing violence in here. You're seeing anger and defensive. Shows limited emotional depth in long-term relationships. So it's a very shallow, right? Shallow.
Yeah.
And I think we remember that from the, what was that called? Shallow, where you don't react normally in response to emotions of others, which was similar to psychopathy or psychopathy. I think I like psychopathy much better than psychopathy.
Yeah.
Psychopathy. Sounds like somebody lurking in the background. Oh, there's psychopathy over there.
Psychopathy.
Yeah, it's pronounced. We're finding it pronounced two ways. If you know the correct way, just shoot us a little text. Pronounce it in your text.
He's psychopath.
So here's behavioral trait story. John frequently belittles his colleagues at work so he can appear superior. And he wants praise from them, how great he is and how bad they are. When confronted, he accuses them of being jealous. He deflects any responsibility and shows no interest in personal growth. So narcissism is a behavioral thing that you see a lot, and it's almost like a arrogancy, you know, being arrogant.
Yeah.
That type of thing. And there is an acute, you may not care about others, but you care about how others feel about you. You don't care how they feel. You care about how they feel about you.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing.
Because he's an egocentric person.
Yes. Psychopath, summary. Callous, lacks empathy. No empathy, no remorse for actions. If you remember last week, I killed the person at the cash register because they were moving too slowly. Not me. I didn't do that. That was the example. I apologize. Don't report me, please. The criminal, when asked why he shot the cashier, said they were moving too slowly. It's their fault. They moved too slowly. I shot them. They had it coming. You know, so it's not like, oh, well, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I feel bad about it. It was, well, if they had moved the speed.
He deserved.
They deserve, yeah. So there's not remorse, and it's actually blaming the victim. They're manipulative, charming, calculated actions for personal gain. Example, Ted Bundy, he was charming, but he was also ruthless, killer of women. I remember a story about Blondie. You know Blondie the singer? She tells a story of she thinks she was in Ted Bundy's car. And she got in, found out there was no handle to get out of her door. Somehow she reached outside the car, opened the door, and got out, I guess. And there's a... Look it up somewhere. It's a great story. It's Blondie's run-in with Ted Bundy. I think it's probably accurate. Right?
Could have more followers.
Yeah, that's how you get more. Yeah, I don't think she's getting more followers now. She's got, you know, people love her music from Blondie. Mm-hmm. So he was, again, Ted Bundy. He drove around a little yellow Volkswagen Beetle. He was a genuinely decent looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was unassuming. He was not big, bulky, scary. He dressed nicely. And he was very polite and manipulative. Oh, here, let me give you a ride. You don't walk. I'll take you where you need to go. And then he would kill people.
Mm.
I think there was somebody who said he also smelled. Like, even though he gave this appearance of looking good and acting and talking well, there were traits of his that were really odd. I mean, besides killing people, that's an odd trait, right? Let's go on with this. How about psychopath behavioral traits? Again, cold, calculated, methodical, in criminal activities. So now we're moving into criminal activities. Use charm to manipulate and deceive people easily. Often engages in violent crimes without feeling guilt or remorse. We also talked about how a psychopath, people have those traits and they might not necessarily be criminal. They may just push things to a point that the normal person wouldn't, because the normal person would have empathy for someone else. So in really tense negotiations, a suggestion is having somebody with psychopathic traits on your team will not feel the intensity and anger of the other side. In fact, they don't care if the other side gets happy, sad, or whatever, because they're unemotionally connected, right?
Yeah.
So some of these traits, when they're not extreme, can be positive in certain situations, but may not be good for a relation, right?
For any relation.
Any relation. No relationship, but a situation. Situational, not relational.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. What else do we have here? How about a story? We have Emily, who befriends people. She gains their trust and then later uses their personal information to manipulate outcomes. Despite the harm she causes, she remains calm, shows no guilt. So for instance, like just think about somebody maybe at work who you think is your friend, you tell a couple of stories and you think you're sharing something between two people, and then all of a sudden they're spreading rumors throughout the company to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's no big deal because they, if you're hurt, it doesn't affect them. But they get gain out of it because they're seen as sharing information, private information.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, let's hear what Emily has to say this week.
Yeah, and like, I can spray and also maybe customize.
Customize, change that a bit, lie a little bit, manipulate a little bit for their own gain.
Increase, inflate, yeah.
And so, oh, don't promote them, promote me, because I'm so much better than them, right?
Mm-hmm. And also, it's just that unconscious, you know, that people sometimes
don't
think in the consequence when doing this action. It's more because it's watching yourself, you know, take care of others.
Well, especially if you have no empathy for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think others behave like we do for the same reasons. So if somebody doesn't have the same feeling, the same response to somebody else's emotions, they will do things that we are maybe incapable of doing. So for the normal person who feels bad when they hurt somebody, they may not do an action to hurt somebody. For the psychopath who doesn't really have empathy for that person,
mm-hmm.
who's getting hurt, they don't feel it. Now, it can be a natural thing and they just don't even know. Like, it doesn't mean they're doing it because they see the other person feeling sad, they feel sad, and they disregard their feeling of empathy towards the person. It's not a conscious disregard, like you said. Subconsciously, I'm not affected by that person.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm not affected, my behaviors are different. Remember last night I was talking to my daughter about Skinner? I think it's B.F. Skinner. He said that our behaviors are learned based upon the reaction we get. So if we do a certain action and we have a reaction, but we don't have a feeling ourselves according to that other person's reaction, our behavior will be different than somebody who does have feelings associated with the reaction of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, what their feelings are have to be transmitted back to us, and we have to understand them and feel them. And if that transmission is interrupted by us not having any empathy, then our learned behavior will become different, not because we consciously want to hurt people, but we don't recognize it doesn't register. The hurting of the other person isn't registered. Mm-hmm. And so that's a psychopath. You almost have to feel sorry for them. Well, you don't. But in a way, they have a challenge relating to other people as well. Mm-hmm. So you can feel sorry, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're off. You know, they're like, well, we've got to forgive them because they need to recognize they don't have empathy.
Yeah.
So, and not be a criminal. What else do we have here? That was the Emily story. How about sociopath? Uh-huh. Let's talk about sociopath for a minute. Very similar behavior, right? So it's impulsive, erratic behavior, lacks consistent guilt for harm. So the harm of somebody else, so when they harm somebody else, they may lack consistently feeling guilt, meaning they hurt somebody and maybe they have a little feeling, they hurt somebody else and they have no feeling. So it's a little different, sociopath. And we're going to talk about why and how a sociopath, quote, is formed versus a psychopath. Mm-hmm. Sociopaths can form attachments with people. It can be groups or specific people. And we're going to talk about somebody by an example of a sociopath called Richard Ramirez, who was impulsive, violent, and driven by childhood trauma. So I want you to, I'm going to highlight it here. If you look in the last point, it says childhood trauma, sociopath. Sociopath is typically associated with childhood trauma. We'll get into why in a moment. So what is he known for? Mm-hmm. Richard Ramirez was also known as the Night Stalker. He was a serial killer, rapist, and burglar who terrorized California between 1984 and 1985. He was convicted of 13 murders, in addition to numerous assaults and home invasions, with many victims suffering extreme violence, sexual assault, and satanic rituals. So when you hear someone's convicted of 13, that's all they were caught for. How many did they actually do?
Yeah.
So when we get to that other one we're going to talk about in a moment. And what's really interesting is somebody brought up sociopath to us earlier in the week. And we're like, oh, maybe that's something we'll talk about. And thank you for bringing up that suggestion, Patrick. Mm-hmm. As the week progressed, we saw that there was a new movie out by Anna Kendrick, where she directed it and she's in it. And it's about the dating game killer.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about in a minute. But it was all about a sociopath, mm-hmm. who might also be a psychopath. Again, we have to talk about the difference between those. So let's go back to Richard Ramirez. Let's talk about what happened to him. What led to his sociopathic behavior? His childhood was marked by severe trauma. This thing blew my mind. At the age of 12, his cousin, who was in Vietnam, he brought back pictures of rape, torture, and murder from the war and showed them to Ramirez at the age of 12. This is when Ramirez was 12. He also witnessed his cousin, the same person, killing his wife. Mm-hmm. So his cousin killed his own wife, and he watched this happen. So besides seeing all these photos of the rape and killing in Vietnam, later on he sees his cousin kill his wife and witnesses it. So it's traumatic, and it impacted his psychological development. Sociopaths are triggered by trauma in their childhood. Social, so it's a training through society, through trauma, neglect, abuse, where something then triggers that person to protect themselves, guard themselves, disassociate with feelings of others, and maybe they also end up having some mental psychological challenges that when they see this violence, it makes them feel, whether it's aroused, whether it is excited, whether it's alive, whether it's connected for a moment with the world, these traumas create something in the person, and again, society, sociopath, where psych, if you think about psych and the psyche being the brain, psychopath is typically brain defects that are amplified by potential childhood trauma. So you don't necessarily become a psychopath just because you have brain challenges, but it's typically more genetic, where sociopath is trauma-based and induced. So one is psyche, brain, the other is socio, society. Mm-hmm. One is learned. One is, if you want to just separate it that way, born, learned.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overlap because some people who become sociopaths only become sociopaths because the trauma triggers already existing brain abnormalities. Not really triggers them, but it piles on. It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. I think that's it. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about straws that break backs when we talk about sociopaths. Be right back.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about the sociopath. Differing from the psychopath, sociopath being created by childhood trauma, most likely. Psychopath having brain abnormalities that may also be piled on by trauma and other things that impact. Mm-hmm. But let's go into what is a sociopath. Continue on with it. They disregard societal norms and others' rights consistently. So they really don't care about others and their rights. They're driven by impulsivity and emotional volatility. They have no consideration for the consequences. It's rooted in, sociopathology is rooted in environmental trauma, neglect, or early life abuse experiences. Again, environmental trauma, neglect, or early life abuse experiences that impact the brain and then the behavioral traits. Okay. So it's a trauma-induced abnormality. Here's one. We were talking about the Anna Kendrick story, or not story, the movie she just did, mm-hmm. about the dating game killer. His name was Rodney Alcala. And if you've seen any videos or movies or documentaries on him, it blows your mind. I mean, you see this thing. When the serial killer was on the dating game, he was one of the contestants.
Yeah. So they have also narcissism because he want to be exposure for people, you know.
Yeah, and he thought he was really smart. He was really cunning. He acted intelligently. He spoke very well. And so he was quite charming and could talk people into things. And that was one of the reasons he was so successful as a serial killer.
And also, it's similar to the case of Pablo Escobar, you know. Mm. So he become like the big drug deal criminal, and he play for become the mayor of the town that he live. And also, he involved in the politics, in the media. Yeah. And based upon that, you do this kind of the dirty job, you know. So that's yeah. the missing the psycho because, and social
You're yeah. socially adept. You mm-hmm. get around with people. You're charming. You're manipulative.
Yeah.
And then you're...
Yeah, you feel so powerful yeah. because... Yeah.
Everyone believes you. So let's talk about Rodney Alcala. Psychopath or sociopath? Which is it? He was manipulative, charming. He had predatory behavior towards vulnerable victims. He targeted victims with calculated cold intent over many years. He lacked remorse and carefully planned violent sexual assaults and murders. And I think we heard there were many murders, and we'll talk about that in a minute. He was called the dating game killer. He posed as a photographer to lure young women. He kept talking in the show, and I'm not sure if this was real life. He would tell people that he was trying to do photography for a, what was it called? He was entering his photos in a contest, and he could win potential. And this person, oh, you look great. You're the perfect person. And then he would drive them out somewhere and take photos. And while he was taking photos, yeah. And he was a good conversationalist, too, based upon what we were seeing.
Yeah.
He seemed to be able to talk to people's self-doubts, build them up. Oh, you look beautiful. Wow, you're perfect. You know, I think I could win with you as my model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading a little into this, but this is from the movie and from real life. Many people went with him for photographs.
Yeah.
He would lure them. And he would keep pictures, right? Keep the pictures as trophies. But he also evaded arrest. So he kept moving to different areas. He changed his name. So there was a certain amount of intelligence. So the difference between successful serial killers and non-successful murderers typically is intelligence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have psychopathic or sociopathic behaviors, but... if you're really smart, maybe you can convince people better than when you're not really smart, not charming, and not cunning. You know, if you're not charming, cunning, manipulative, if you're not good at that, then it's hard to be successful, even though you have no empathy for others.
Yeah.
You get caught quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw statistics that 80% of men and 60% of women in jail are considered sociopaths.
More
than psychopaths. Yeah. So it was more childhood drama and socially environmental things that impacted them as youth that moved them towards this criminality.
Yeah.
80% men, 60% women in prison.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's continue with Rodney. Here are some of the reasons supposedly he became a sociopath. Unlike Ramirez, but similar... he was abandoned by his father at age 8. He was relocated and displaced many times. They moved to Los Angeles. His feelings of insecurity and instability were in there. And further instability, he suffered a major mental breakdown in the Army. He was diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder in the Army.
Yeah.
At the age of 17, I believe. And he was, like, found wandering around and just, like, not really doing what he was supposed to do. And
mm-hmm.
so now here's somebody with antisocial personality disorder. He's thrown out. And then a series of things happen after that. Whereas I believe when we watched the documentary, he was accused of beating an 8-year-old girl with a metal stick. And she didn't die, but almost. And... He you know, goes to jail for 3 years, comes out. He just keeps moving around, and he bounces around, and he keeps evading law enforcement, even with a trail of dead bodies behind
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's his chain.
Yeah. So he was charismatic, intelligent, and calculating during the crimes to fool victims. This is now we're looking at How did I go backwards to Ted Bundy? I think we just skipped on over to Ted Bundy. But let me. That was very similar to Rodney. So that was actually. Let me finish off Rodney there. So that was Rodney. The supposedly there was childhood trauma that contributed to this. Unlike Ramirez, Ramirez's childhood trauma was drastic. So that's why there was thought that he was more of a sociopath mm-hmm. than Alcala. Alcala had some trauma, mm-hmm. but that meant that potentially, and if you saw his interviews later on, where he looks crazy, he acts crazy. So there is a mental and a trauma involved in Rodney Alcala. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to Ted Bundy, who we talked about with Blondie a moment ago, that he was charismatic, intelligent, calculating during crimes to fool victims. He planned his abductions and murders in cold blood across multiple states. He showed no empathy or guilt for his numerous victims, even during trial. So as a psychopath, again, he probably blamed the victims. Well, they were stupid for getting in my car. Mm-hmm. They let me talk them in. They're, you know, like blaming them. If they weren't so stupid, I wouldn't have killed them. You know, yeah. Blondie got out. Blondie was smart. I'll tell you that. And she has a heart of gold. Not a heart of glass, but a heart of gold. Ted Bundy, what he did, well, he murdered over 30 women.
Wow.
In the 1970s. He gained trust through his charm and good looks and then brutally killed his victims. Returned to the crime scenes to further desecrate their bodies. So he was absolutely awful. And we all see Adolf Hitler as a sociopath. He manipulated people through propaganda, mass violence on a global scale, rooted in personal trauma, early life abuse, influencing his extremist views. Extreme disregard for human life, orchestrated genocides without remorse. So again, it's a sociopath, psychopath. They have similar behaviors, different reasons that lead them to those behaviors, different things that impact them.
How you can call people follow these leaders? Is also sociopath too?
Because the leader is charismatic. The leader is manipulative. He was doing propaganda, and the media propaganda. When you have a few close people who follow you, and then they have people who follow them. It's, you know, you ask the question, how, right? It doesn't make sense. They're crazy.
So I guess the society also is easy to manipulate.
Easy to manipulate. We're easy.
Or some political people. Oops.
Yeah. And we want to be manipulated in a way, right? Yeah. We're not drawn to logic. We're drawn to emotion. Mm-hmm. So if somebody emotionally moves us in a direction, we follow them more so than somebody who is boring. Oh, you're boring.
Oh, logical stuff is so boring. Logical. Yeah. Maybe emotional is better.
Absolutely. So let's look at the difference between a sociopath versus a psychopath. A sociopath is impulsive, emotional forms attachments despite issues. A psychopath is more calculated. So a sociopath is more impulsive. Psychopath is more calculated. They're emotionless, lacks empathy or remorse for actions. Both show disregard for social norms and violate others' rights frequently. We continue on with that. I'm going to try to... Oh, how does someone become a sociopath? So we gave some clues already.
Okay.
Number one, born. There's some genetic predisposition or family history involved. And the family history may be behavioral history, less so than brain damage or brain changes or brain functioning. They can be taught. Environment models deceit, manipulation, or violence as normal. So their environment is their behavior that they're learning is normal. It's learned in childhood through trauma, neglect, or abuse, which fosters antisocial behavior development. So again, sociopath, environmental, society, trauma. Mm-hmm. Compared to psychopath, which last week mm-hmm. was much more associated with brain changes mm-hmm. that could be genetic.
Okay.
And again, here's the brain differences, psychopath versus sociopath. Psychopaths, reduced amygdala, prefrontal cortex function affects behavior. There's less emotional reactivity, better impulse control in a psychopath over harmful actions. They're more calculated, methodical behavior in crimes without emotional ties. That is where the psychopath has more control over behavior. Sociopaths, more emotional reactivity, impulsive actions during conflicts, less control over emotions, higher aggression and violent tendencies. The brain shows more emotional reactivity, especially to perceived threats. So how we were saying the psychopath's limbic system is moderated. Mm. Well, the sociopath's limbic system may have more emotional reactivity, especially when they feel threatened. So when you call out a sociopath as being a sociopath, they may react violently, whereas the psychopath may react calmly and coolly and take care of you when you're not looking, right? Yep. So they're a little bit more calculated there.
Yeah.
Are there treatments for psychopath? I'm sorry, for sociopath. We talked about the psychopath before being brain-induced, and because of the brain, there weren't that many treatments that were actually that effective. For the sociopath, depending on when it is caught, the tendencies, there could be cognitive behavioral therapy to help manage impulsivity and aggressive behavior, family therapy to help support the family of the sociopath, right? So if the child is exhibiting behavioral tendencies, maybe the family can learn how to act a certain way to help the child. But there's no specific medication for sociopathy. You try to treat comorbid conditions like anxiety or depression. So anxiety and depression can moderate. The more anxious and depressed you are, you may have more violent tendencies. So the medication is to help with anxiety and depression, to help lower the tendency of violent acting out in situations. So it's very difficult. We'll leave that alone. How to identify a sociopath? Chronic dishonesty. Frequent lying, manipulation for personal gain. Well, it sounds like a narcissist and a psychopath at this point. Lack of remorse or empathy for others suffering, even loved ones. And here is the big way of identifying that the person's a sociopath rather than a psychopath or a narcissist. They have erratic, impulsive actions that violate social norms and cause harm. So when they're erratic behavior, their behavior is more erratic than the psychopath or the narcissist. More so. How to avoid a sociopath? Never leave the house because they're all around you. Set personal boundaries. Prevent manipulation and control attempts at manipulation. Avoid engaging in arguments or emotional games that they may initiate. And that would be probably good for all the narcissist as well as the psychopath. Recognize and resist their attempts to gain control over relationships. So again, it doesn't necessarily mean that a sociopath is going to go to murder, but they can have enough tendencies where they can have violent reactivity. Yeah. So, you know, it's again, these are spectrums, right? The antisocial personality disorder spectrum has different ratings from, you know, just mild to extreme.
And I guess that also the important point here is how reacting in situations. So like we saw the movies, the last victim survived because she playing the game with him. So the person don't expect the reaction, because typical reaction, I am empowered, you are scared, you scream, and there's somebody start to say thank you and I love you, so I say what, and then you can block maybe the,
can we do this again next week, right?
So
it's, you need to be cunning, manipulative and smart, and I don't think the word is outwit the sociopath, but maybe to not aggravate the sociopath. If you act sad and scared and angry, those things can all trigger.
More, yeah,
but if you act in control and balanced and mirror, maybe it confuses them. They don't know. They don't feel they're being attacked. They don't feel they're being abused.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they don't have the activity.
The in some movie situation when the people say, "Oh, you are stupid," and the people, "Oh, thank you." So that is broke, you know. So
yes.
People reaction. Why you told me stupid? You know. So I am angry. No. So it's something that you start to control and power. So I typically use this study when somebody attack. I said, you are right.
You're right.
So, and then the emotion come down.
Yeah, so that's where arguments with emotionally and psychologically imbalanced or unbalanced people, this is where someone who wants to argue and escalate probably has an issue. And if you just say, I'm going to argue with them, if you are not also psychologically imbalanced, unbalanced,
you create like a bomb.
Meaning if you can control yourself from just not arguing, that's how you can stop the argument. You avoid, you back away. And it's not that you're backing down, because how do you back down from a psychopath? How do you back down from a sociopath? It's like, oh, I'm backing down. You know, you're not backing down. You're doing the smart thing. You're actually like playing a game of chess.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving up your pawn so your queen can live to see another day.
There you go.
When we come back, we'll talk more about chess and the art of the sociopath.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to the last segment of 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about sociopath. We're talking about psychopath a little bit, narcissist a little bit, but let's get back to sociopath. What we wanted to talk about is that how sociopaths manipulate with their cunning, with their charm, and their behavior to try to coerce people to do things that turn out to be exceptionally bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
Is this emotional intelligence? And last week we brought this up and we said, no, it's not. But let's talk about why not. Why is it not emotional intelligence? So emotional intelligence recognizes, manages, and influences emotions constructively for the benefit. Psychopaths and sociopaths lack empathy. And they'll exploit emotions for manipulation, not for constructive benefit of all involved.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence builds positive, healthy relationships. I don't know too many sociopaths or psychopaths that build emotionally healthy relationships. There we go. So that's the big difference, is emotional intelligence isn't the ability to manipulate. It's the ability to understand emotions and utilize them to try to help the emotional content of the situation to get the best outcome for all involved. I think that's actually the definition.
Yeah, I maybe can have a short relationship when they have what they need, destroy the, because the people got it, but maybe can.
Okay, so here we go. Psychopaths and sociopaths use emotional awareness for manipulation. Emotional intelligence builds trust and cooperation in relationships. Manipulation exploits others. Emotional intelligence fosters connection. Again, psychopaths, sociopaths do something for their benefit now, and it's a one-time thing, right? It's not like looking for a long-term relationship. It's looking for power right now to manipulate, not caring about the emotion of others, where emotional intelligence is looking for connection over the long term.
Yeah.
right? So there is no emotional intelligence in there. Finally, narcissism we talked about before. It is narcissistic personality disorder. And ASPD, which is the antisocial personality disorder, they both have this cluster B proximity in the DSM-5, meaning they're in this group called cluster B. Narcissists seek admiration and validation, where ASPD people, the people who are antisocial, violate others' rights. So the narcissist's benefit is for validation. Narcissist is different because they're looking for validation and worth, where the sociopath and the psychopath are looking to violate somebody else's rights, manipulate them, and hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The narcissist may hurt somebody, but it's all in an effort to validate their own self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so good. By putting someone else down, rather than I'm going to manipulate you just to hurt you.
Yeah.
Different. The psychopath, sociopath gets off or gets enjoyment out of hurting people.
Yeah.
Where the narcissist gets enjoyment out of them looking good. When they look good.
Admiration.
Right, admiration. So they're both manipulate, but they have different motivations for that. Finally, let's see if what we can do here. I'm going to do this one here. Remorse. Empathy and remorse. Narcissistic versus antisocial personality disorder. For narcissistic personality disorder, someone may lack empathy, but they're concerned with self-image. In antisocial personality disorder, there's a profound lack of empathy, even beyond the lack of empathy of the narcissist, and has no remorse, and acts without guilt. Both lack concern for others, but again, in different ways. So I'm not concerned with you, but I'm not concerned with your life either, right? That would be the sociopath and psychopath. And we're talking about more of the criminal aspects of it, not the psychopathic. And psychopathic traits versus you are a psychopath. Yeah. You know, is a little different too. Like, they're psychopath. You can have psychopathic traits.
A baby psychopath.
Baby psychopath, just a little bit. What else do we have? I think this is about it that we want to just talk about, that in NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, and ASPD, antisocial personality disorder, both disorders manipulate emotions and lack empathy. We talked about emotional intelligence, right? Where it involves understanding, regulating, and using emotions for healthy relationships. Both NPD and ASPD, narcissistic personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder, lack the emotional awareness central to emotional intelligence. Be emotionally intelligent. When you care for somebody else and their feelings, and you care to manage the emotions of a situation, know that this is the biggest place to grow, and you won't have to worry about yourself being a sociopath or a psychopath. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jan.
Have a great, successful, emotionally intelligent week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.